Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Jim, it's an historic day. The president's going to give a major policy speech, this time on reducing the deficit and our national debt in the long term. This is a speech, or at least a proposal, he probably should have come up with a few months ago when it was, you know, time to submit a budget. But he's going to finally give this speech this afternoon, and it's being billed as a speech that's not going to make anybody happy because he's probably going to try and please everybody. We worried a little bit on Monday because David Plouffe told Chris Wallace that tax hikes for the wealthier Americans would be on the table, and Plouffe seemed to indicate that John Boehner and some Senate Republicans had suggested that they agree that revenue should be on the table. And so we worried that maybe this idea would get a little more progress than we would have hoped. But John Boehner throwing a lot of cold water on that just a little while ago today.
But there's been a lot of discussion about the need to raise taxes. And I'll just say this. We can't tax the very people that we expect to reinvest in our economy and to create jobs. Washington has a spending problem, not a revenue problem.
That's good to hear from Boehner. I think this should be pretty much a slam dunk. The president's kind of floating it out there like a big fat pitch for the Republicans to hit, whether it's a political season or not. I think people see when millions of people are out of work, a lot of people struggling just to hang on, that taxing job creators, probably not the best idea right now. So good for the Republicans, and let's hope they stick to their guns on this.
Greg, I actually have a bit of a quibble with Boehner. I don't think his accusation is true. I don't think the Democrats believe that they're going to be taxing more heavily those who will be reinvesting in America and creating jobs, because in the minds of many Democrats, that's not what the private sector is there to do. Government is supposed to create jobs. Government is supposed to create supposed to invest in the economy. Business is just there to be have stuff taken from. They don't do any of that good stuff. So. Perhaps it's not as contradictory as the speaker thinks. I'm glad to see this. I'm also glad to see the president. This is clearly the most dramatic budget proposal he's made in about 2 months. I think also this is the biggest and most important address he's given in a week. Anyway, whatever it is, we're sure it's going to be the next Gettysburg address, as all of his speeches are.
Right.
I'm also just hoping, because his staff is already leaking to Politico, and there's a clear message that's supposed to come out of this speech. And the clear message is, I'm the adult in the room. Details to come, but just America, remember, he's the adult. That Paul Ryan guy, well, he looks young, so he must be the kid. everybody else in Capitol, a bunch of kids, toddlers. Their budgets are made with finger paints, you know. By the way, even if the, you know, like for example, the progressive caucus of the House submitted a budget, it actually was done in finger paints, but one of the things you could make out was that they were going to raise the top tax rate to 47%. Which by my count is like roughly increasing the tax rate on the rich by, you know, one third. Now, as much as, you know, we may groan and, you know, say that's ridiculous, at least they have a budget. The self-proclaimed adult in the room has yet to do that. So we'll see what happens here. I just think it's kind of very revealing that confronted with, you know, new numbers on the deficit, it's on pace to have the worst deficit of any ever. And, you know, even with an allegedly recovering economy with unemployment all the way down to 8.8%, somehow the Obama's response is to make sure that the political spin is right and that he comes across as an adult. His head is in the right place, isn't it, Greg?
Absolutely right. And I think it'd be fun to see Boehner say, you know what? Revenue is on the table. And that's why we have the Ryan plan, where the top tax bracket comes down to 25%. And oh, yeah, business taxes, which I believe are second highest in the industrialized world, those are going to be slashed as well. So revenue is on the table. We're actually going to get this economy jump started. Let's get on board, America. You didn't say that, but let's hope we do hear a lot more of that moving forward, because I'm sure what the president has to say is not original in any way and is pretty much a regurgitation of liberal talking points with a few caveats towards the middle to help himself in 2012. On to martini number two now, and this is a potential retraction of martini number one on Monday. It appears upon further review, as you pointed out in the jolt today, Jim, that the budget deal struck late last Friday, not actually that good. There's some arcane budget rules going on there that suggest you can count savings that aren't really savings. We're hearing about money being shuffled around when the president is going to talk about cutting money for health programs. He's basically just defunding anything that could possibly replace Planned Parenthood. And basically, this is just a big old shell game here. So this is kind of a why we have promises like we've seen in the last couple cycles of having the people have a few days to look at legislation before members actually vote on it, because digging into it has uncovered some very ugly things. And unlike some other things, like the Democratic health care bill, like the stimulus package and so many other things, there's actually time to do something about it rather than just ramming it down our throats.
You know, Greg, I think yesterday's first martini has us praying at the porcelain altar, so to speak. It was something bad was in it. The ingredients were not what we were led to believe. I was going to observe, Greg, when I don't want to get too much into your personal finances, but the end of the month comes, you have to pay your bills. Do you often refer to arcane bookkeeping rules? When Radio America or National Review does all kinds of arcane bookkeeping rules. That's why I keep getting played in drachmas and stuff. But, you know, anytime you see the phrase arcane bookkeeping rule, it's not a good thing.
Right.
That's just kind of, you know, subtext for somebody is trying to pull one over on you and they don't want you to know. And you know, my dad was an accountant. I know a bunch of accountants. They seem like normal people. But all of a sudden, they can just pull a rabbit out of the hat and say, oh, no, under the double secret probation Thursday provision, if the moon is in the right cycle, we don't have to put that in that category. And now all of a sudden, this debt is turning into a credit, et cetera. Very depressing. All kinds of categories of, you know, money that was really never going to get spent gets counted as savings. Well, you know, that one, did they have to fight over that? They had to fight over it. Like, so wait, even you're saying even if nothing had changed and they had not had any budget negotiations, we were going to spend this money. One, use it to pay off the debt. What is it doing? You're just sitting there in accounts? What are these people doing here? You can just kind of see top to bottom in government this kind of mentality that nobody seems to feel like we're in any sense of a debt or deficit crisis and things aren't getting any better. You expect this from the government bureaucracy. You expect this from the president. You expect this from Harry Reid. You don't expect this from Republican negotiators, and that is why John Boehner is really in – if this does not – he won't get in trouble immediately. But I'd say by the end of the spring, if he has not won some of these very big budget fights, there's going to be a grassroots revolt, and he will have brought it upon himself by relying on, you know, gimmicks such as these.
You mentioned, Jim, a little while ago that the White House and Democrats are going to probably play class warfare here, cranking up the income tax rates on the rich. But, you know, it really isn't just fair to wage political and class warfare between the rich and the poor. Why limit the entire debate to just humans? Because the United Nations here in Martini number 3 has decided that it's time to spread the rights around. The UN is hoping to recognize the Earth as a living entity that humans have sought to, quote, dominate and exploit to the point that the well-being and existence of many beings is now threatened. Therefore, the United Nations wants to pass a treaty giving Mother Earth the same rights as humans, along the same lines as Bolivia has just done, has actually enacted rights for bugs, trees, and all other natural things. Jim, I posted this story on Facebook yesterday, and one of my friends quickly answered back and said, what does this mean for killer bees? Does this mean that they could get away with killing because that's
No, death penalty. After trial, you will be allowed to swat them. There are all kinds of insect menaces that I probably will get a new career as a prosecutor on, bringing grand theft charges against raccoons for the trash and all of those. You know, you can insert all kinds of lines here. There are many figures in politics who have been compared to various animals. You know, Dennis Kucinich, just fill in the joke here. Many people argue that Gore was a tree hugger because he was actually a tree, you know. It does kind of say something about the institution that this didn't get left out, you know, like, you know, we have one people checking the calendar, make sure it's not April 1st, and then everyone respond in unison, what the heck are you doing? Why are you wasting our time with this? What's wrong with you? And also then, you know, just make sure that, you know, clearly the person who proposed this is an animal lover. The question is, Greg, are they animal lovers? That's just, you know, when you really say, you know, you want to treat something as an equal, you know, cohabitant of the species or so, that, you know, this is really funny, ha, and then it gets a little bit creepy. So let's just make sure, you know, let's do a little digging into the background of these proponents, because it's weird, Greg. It's an uncomfortable note to end our three martini lunch on.
It is. And, you know, the comforting thing here, though, Jim, is that these are the same people we just deferred to on establishing Libya policy and, you know, bringing the international consensus together, the international community together to solve the world's problem. And this is
front. That's a bad idea, because if Libya ever has free elections, Gaddafi's going to sweep the scorpion vote. They'll all just come crawling out of the sand dunes and vote for him, you know, with their little pincers. They'll mark the ballot and go back in. And before you know it, he's won, you know, with 58%.
Absolutely right. I can see vote fraud being rampant with all that. I mean, how do you specifically separate one pincer from another? It's very, very difficult.
You have to dip the little pincer in the purple ink. And...
So many problems to worry about, and I can only imagine what will happen as this debate goes forward. I'd love to be a fly on the wall in that debate because I know that I would be allowed to be there because I'm a fly.
And you'd get to vote, yes.
And I'd get to vote. Too much fun. Jim, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.